welcome to the Teenage Daydream Podcast. I'm Jet.
And I'm Jen.
We're still in One Tree Hill. We gonna be here for a while.
Yeah, we are.
I feel like we did the math and it was like, what, the end of 2025?
Something like that. Which is honestly sounding like scarily closer
right?
by the minute. Yeah.
I know, I was just trying to like do some of the math in my head there. And I was like, oh, well,
yeah. It sounded so far away and now I'm like, yeah. Oh, that's actually quite soon. Yikes.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But yes, we're on season 3, episode 19. This is kind of, we're after the event, and we're kind of in that last 4 episodes, right? 19, 20, 21, 22. Mm-hmm. 4 episode arc of the end of the season. And I have to say, I feel like nothing really happened in this episode. I mean, like, setups happened. A million setups happened.
Yes, a lot of setting up happened in this episode.
But like, so now we're down to, like, 3 episodes where all this stuff's gonna happen?
Oh, yeah. Right? And really, honestly, kind of, like, almost 2 episodes? Because episode 22 is, like, the culmination of everything. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, it's weird, right?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But we start with, so we're in the locker room,
mm-hmm.
And Lucas is looking at the jerseys, and they have like a patch on them, like that says KS, which is a very, like, that happens in basketball and stuff all the time. They'll put like a little like band across or different things.
Yeah.
And I don't know, he says some sort of quote, and obviously I wasn't listening.
I wasn't listening so much that I didn't even realize he'd said a quote.
Yeah, no, he definitely did.
Okay.
But then Nathan comes in, and obviously they have the, like, oh, black jersey, black whatever for Keith.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because at first it was weird, because, like, they were talking about black jersey. I'm like, you guys wear black jerseys sometimes, don't you? Anyways. But, like, the the badge was black, and I was like,
right.
I'm confused. But Nathan is like, it's okay, like, don't worry, like, I got your back. Which I love, because it was just, like, Nathan being, like,
yeah.
Finally, Nathan, kind of being more the one, like, to support Lucas.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's just Nathan stepping up and growing.
I love him.
Unlike Lucas. Oh, God. And even, like, Whitey, like, pops in for a second, but sees that they're having this, like, bro moment where, like, Nathan's like, yeah. And he, like, walks out.
Yeah. And then we go to the game starting.
Yes. Oh, well, and Lucas actually has Scott on the back of his jersey.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Which... if you have forgotten, this entire time, ever since he has played with the Ravens, he has not had a last name on the back because he didn't want to be associated with Dan.
Yeah.
It was very one of the ceremoniously, he rips it off.
Yeah.
When it happened to be Velcro, which is not a thing. and, like, threw it on the ground that time in, like, season 1. But, yeah, so, like, that's where we start.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they're getting ready for the, what do you call it? The start of the game? I don't know anything about basketball.
Tip-off?
Tip-off. That's it. Thank you. I knew it. I just couldn't think of it. I was thinking, like, the puck drop, but I'm like, that's the wrong sport.
Well, and I didn't know if you were, like where we were going with this. I was like the game? Like, no, for like basketball?
The tip-off.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the term I was looking for. And anyway, Lucas is, like, looking, like, into the stands, and there's, like, a little empty spot, and he's remembering Keith being there, and then he walks off. He's like, I can't do this.
Yeah, because, like, Nathan clocks that he's, like,
yes,
you know, off in his own world kind of a thing.
Yeah. And he tells Whitey, and Whitey's like, yep, that's fine. Goes to somebody else in, and then Nathan walks over, and he says, like, wait, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
And so they forfeit the game.
Yeah, and you can tell Whitey even, like, right away, he's like, okay, yep, and he goes and says, like,
yeah,
we forfeit. You're just like, I feel like I kind of had questions about this.
Okay.
Well, just, like, I totally get Nathan, and I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, did they really all, like, did they have to forfeit? Comes up later.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the reason is the conversation that happens later, but I was just like, you know... sure, like, maybe Nathan could have walked off with him or something. You know, like, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
It's just because... It's because we're supposed to feel for Lucas, and I don't.
I know. Well, yeah, because then we go to the locker room, and Lucas is, like, getting all stuff together. And Nathan comes back, and that's when Lucas is like, you didn't have to forfeit. And Nathan's just like, no, no, we got your back, like we said that. But then he does say, too, like, you know, what did you say to me when I walked out of this gym? Like, it's the whole team, like, needs you.
Yeah.
Basically. And we can't forfeit the entire season. It's Whitey's last season. Like, the guys deserve a shot at state. So basically, I guess, figure yourself out.
Yeah. Ay, ay, ay. I'm just not about Lucas in this episode.
It's a weird episode, I'm not gonna lie to you.
Which, I mean, sounds like I'm for Lucas in any other episode, which I'm not, but...
True.
Just because I feel like so much of the way that this episode was set up was that, like, Lucas should be there for other people, but mm-hmm. that it's all just him making it all about him. And, like...
Yeah.
And, like, for valid reasons, I'm not... But it's just...
Well, that's the thing. Like, I mean, like, I was a little bit, like, even when Nathan said that, I was like, okay, but does he not deserve, like, just one game to be like, I can't do this?
Well, and that's why I was like, cool, like, yeah, he like, Lucas should absolutely take another game. For, like, right. Or take a game. No problem. Whatever.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of contrived, but whatever. Anyway. As everyone's leaving, Rachel sees a poster up of this, like, I don't know, how old is this girl in this picture?
We definitely know that, because we see it later, she's 14.
Oh, okay. I totally missed that.
Later on, where there's, like, the 4x6, and it's flipped over, it says
okay. 14. Okay. Anyway, she's kind of chubby.
Yeah. But, like, not in a way for, like, anyone no. between the ages of 12 to 15 that you would be like, ugh.
Right. That's why I mean, like, kind of chubby. Like,
yeah. Also?
Like, maybe this, like, I don't know. It's just weird to me.
Like, it's one of those things where it would take, like...
I hate this storyline. I've always hated this storyline.
Which is the one that I completely forgot about. So, like, that's why I literally just wrote down, like, oh my god, wow, yikes, like, all of those things.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things where it's, yeah, like, if this was her at, like, 14, it would mm-hmm. take, what, like, one summer of, like... Not even, like, you know, purposely being active to, like, lose weight. Just literally as a teenager.
Right.
You know, because, like, we used to, like, bike out to the pool, which from where mm-hmm. I lived was literally, like, probably, like, a 2-mile bike ride or something, you know?
Yeah.
Because it, like, wasn't actually, like, in town. You know, like, it would just take, like, a natural teenage kid summer of activity. And, well, like, and also, a growth like, spurt and a...
She's not that big there.
No.
First of all. And also, like, at 14... You don't even know which way that's going to go at this point. Like, you could still be hanging on to, like, chubby kid.
Absolutely.
Like, and you can I tell, know so like, many people ugh. Who were chubby in high school that ended up not being chubby adults. Like,
yeah,
that happens. It's just, and also just, like, there's nothing wrong with the girl in the picture. Like, she's fine.
What's I know, this here? Whole thing, like, because again, I 100% did not remember this. And I was blown away.
Yeah, because it's awful. Every single part of this is awful, except for mouth.
As always?
Yes. But anyway, there's words on the poster also that say, guess who, find out soon.
Yeah.
So she's upset, mouth's with her, and he's like, who is that? And she says, it's somebody I used to know who's gone now, and she, like, rips down the poster.
Who's gone now, like Jimmy.
Right. Yeah, that was also rough. Right. Anyway, mouth... immediately clocks that this is Brooke's doing.
Yeah.
So goes to confront her in the gym, and he's like, Rachel's done nothing to you, which to be fair is not true, because Brooke does reel off a whole bunch of things she's done. However, mm-hmm. dear Brooke, what are you doing? Because he asks where the rest of the posters are, and she gives him, like, so many locations around town, like, not just the school.
No, yeah, because she says school, she's like, Trick, Karen's Cafe, she lists some sort of convenience store, and then, like, says, like, yeah, all over town.
Logistics police for a hot minute. Karen's yeah. Cafe hasn't been open, I think, since Keith died.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll give her the benefit of the doubt and say that she stuck it on the outside.
All right. Either way, Mouth immediately says to her, "Didn't you learn anything from Jimmy's death?" Which, like, this, I find this so strange because this is something that season one Brooke would have done.
This is what we were talking about that last time, remember? Yes. Like, season one Brooke was kind of like the mean girl and whatever. Yeah, and then season two, she was like, come around. And then this season is this weird, constant flip flop back and forth.
And I can even see her doing. I can even see her doing this to Rachel, pre Jimmy. I can see that happening.
100%.
But after that, like, you have that whole arc with Brooke in the aftermath of the shooting.
Yes.
Or no, that the episode of the shooting.
When she's in the gym with Glenda or whatever and stuff.
Yeah. Just you have that whole arc, and then you do this. It doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
Anyway, like I said, I hate this storyline, but whatever. Anyway.
It's also just like, if they just did this like historic episode,
right,
that was revolving around people feeling like outcasts for various reasons and bullying and whatnot, why would you immediately jump back in to something that like straight just, I mean, it wasn't really called that then, but like straight body shaming?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because so, like, you know, Brooke says like, whatever, like she tried to take my squad, she tried to take Luke's, blah, blah. Those are different categories.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. And the thing is, like, Brooke took those photos from a locked cabinet that Rachel is obviously trying to keep hidden. So it's obviously something that bothers her a lot. Like, I just... Anyway. I hate this. And I don't really see what purpose it serves to the story, for being honest.
Same. I don't...
Like, I don't get it.
I don't like it.
Yeah, me neither. I hate it. I wish it would disappear. If I could erase one storyline from One Tree Hill, it would be this one. And it only lasts for one episode, but, like, be gone. I despise it.
Oh, yeah. I just... No go. No go.
Luckily, we get to go from that to Haley and Nathan being adorable.
Oh, my God.
So they're all like, you know, in bed, definitely just had sex.
Yeah.
And Haley's like, we should probably like try unpacking at some point, because like you can see all their stuff is still in boxes, because I guess they've been too busy getting busy to actually move back in properly. And then they just like talk about the wedding a little bit and how he like wants to give her the wedding of her dreams and like all this, and they're so cute.
Yes.
Then they hear some clattering as someone breaks into their apartment.
Yes.
Nathan grabs the baseball bat out of the bag of golf clubs, which I'm like, I think I actually would have grabbed a golf club in that scenario, because I think it might do more damage.
Yeah.
Anyway, that aside, he goes out and it's Uncle Cooper. Who's not only broken into their apartment, but also stolen a beer. Unless he brought that with him. Either scenario is
okay. Yeah, I don't know.
But he's drinking a beer, so.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Random. Also, we find out then, like, in the next scene, that it's 1 a.m.
I'm going to be honest here.
Yeah.
I was so distracted by the shorts that Nathan was wearing.
I didn't even notice them. Oh my god.
They definitely looked like boxers. Like that kind of like blue and white pinstripey generic box. But they looked baggier and longer than, like, way longer than board shorts. They were like to and if not past his knees.
Oh, no.
It was like pajama pants.
Oh, that's so weird.
But like half the length of pajama pants.
I'm literally going to have to go back in this episode and look at it now.
Because it just looks like when he was walking out, because they look so bad. So I was distracted. So I didn't catch a lot of this episode because I saw it. And then like he started talking to Cooper. And then I was just like, wait, what?
Well, yeah, because then we flip to a minute. Flip for a minute to Peyton, right?
Yeah.
I mean, more than a minute. But we flip to Peyton, who's getting a phone call from Pete at 1 in the morning.
On her Motorola rocker, which was the precursor to the iPhone.
Oh, no way.
Motorola rockers connected to iTunes.
Oh, wow.
I had one that was literally, so like iPods existed, but like iPods. And you literally could plug it in and it had like the iTunes logo, like, and you could put songs on it.
Oh, hot damn.
Yeah. And the sides lit up.
Fancy.
But yes, it's 1 in the morning and Pete Wentz is calling her.
Yes. They're chatting.
Yeah.
And then we find out that he's literally outside of her window in his giant limo. And she's like, okay, I'll meet you downstairs, but you have to be quiet, obviously, because she's trying to not wake her dad. Mm-hmm. Which is, of course, when she opens her bedroom door, the first person she sees. And he's like, what is happening here?
Excuse me?
Yeah. So then we find out that he has sent Pete away.
Yep.
Pete from, what, I can't remember what he calls him. Or if he even calls him anything.
But... no, because it ends up being like, Pete from Get Out of Town, or, you know, some kind of like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She says something about like, it's Pete from Fall Out Boy, and he's like, well, now it's Pete from Get Out of Town Boy.
Yeah.
Which is when Brooke shows up, and he's like, where have you been?
Well, because this was... okay, this is
straight just up, like, forgot she was living there, by the way.
I didn't, because logistics police here.
Yeah.
Remember the last episode when he was all like... or whatever episode when he was like fixing the records and making the shelves, and her bed wasn't there, and he was like, I'm gonna put 2 single beds in here, and Brooke's gonna live here.
Yes.
But then now Peyton's regular double-sized bed is there.
Yes. I had this question also when the two of them are in it at the same time.
Yeah. So that's why then I was like, wait, where's Brooke?
Yeah. So anyway, she shows up and he gives them, like, he lays down the law. He gives them a curfew. He says, no boys in the bedroom, like, no alcohol. You call me to let me know where you are. Like, he's like, I am going to be a dad now.
I know.
Despite it's all the fact of a sudden, that like, I have given my teenager free reign forever. And like, this is so funny, I think, coming from him, because like, it was different when Brooke moved in with Lucas and Karen, because Karen has always had like actual rules for Lucas, even if he doesn't always follow them.
Well, and like, not in a way where it's like rules, it's literal standard teenage person rules.
Yeah, and like
nothing said, out, you know, of like
right. And she knew that Brooke basically had no structure at all.
Yeah.
Or any parental oversight whatsoever. So she was like, here are some ground rules for living here. That made sense to me. But like, you literally have let Peyton run wild for 2 seasons. She's literally used to doing whatever she wants when she wants because she doesn't have an adult to answer to.
It was just
anyway.
And like, at the very least though, his list, well, that's why I at least like that his list wasn't out of the ordinary.
Oh no, it definitely it wasn't. Like, it was completely just standard
a stuff. List that technically should have still been in place.
Right.
Even whilst he was away. Like,
right. Right.
Right, because if he came in and he was like, you know, you can't go out during the day and whatever and homework and blah, like all these like crazy, you know, 7 p.m. and what, like, no, like they were all just like normal, you know, 9 p.m. mm-hmm. during the week, midnight on the weekends, like,
yeah,
you know, and call me, blah, blah, blah. But they're, yeah, like, they're both just like, oh.
Yeah. Well, and then it's funny because he's like, tell me about Pete.
Yeah.
From Fall Out Boy. And they, of course, just give him, like, a rundown of, like, what you could find on Wikipedia, although I don't think Wikipedia existed at the time. But like, basically, you know, like the rundown of like his music and whatever, and he's like, no, I don't care about any of that.
Yeah,
I want to know what he is like as a person and how he's going to treat you. Oh my god. Then, if you all remember, Peyton and Brooke divided up the boys in their town on Peyton's closet door. And Brooke may have listed someone for herself that was Peyton's dad. So he like pulls the closet open and he's like, and Brooke, as long as you're living here, maybe get a new hot dad fantasy. And Brooke's like, oh my god.
I had like, it's not like, it's not that I like forgot, it was just one of those things where like it hadn't been brought up, whatever,
right?
And I can't, like, could you imagine, like, that would be the most mortifying
Oh, I cannot thing. Imagine. Yeah.
And,
right?
Like, he was kind of cool about it, you know? Like, it could have been so much worse. Mortified.
Mm-hmm.
Mortified.
Yep. Truly something else.
Oh.
So then we go back to Haley and Nathan and Cooper, and they're Cooper's cooking eggs for them.
Yeah.
And he does say, Nathan says something about him dropping in at 1 a.m. here as well. Cause I like wasn't sure if this was happening concurrently or if this was a weird, like, non-chronological situation.
Same, yeah.
But anyway. Oh my God. He starts telling them about this hot model that he started dating, who's 26.
Yeah.
Can you remember what else he says about her? Because I was kind of ignoring it because I knew who it was.
She's back from New York and she's house-sitting her parents' house.
Okay.
Because she's a 26-year-old model.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to say that a few times so that you can, like, file that away for later.
Yeah. So. So he's in town for a little bit because he's staying with her, I think. Is what he says. Or no, he's staying with Deb.
Yes, because Deb's back.
Yes, but he's hanging out with this girl also.
Said 26-year-old model.
Okay. I don't know, they talk a little bit about Keith and...
Yeah, I'm sorry about Keith. How's Lucas doing? Lucas is not okay.
Yeah. And then we go to the cafe.
Yeah.
And a bunch of newspapers that have piled up at the front door, which is definitely to let us know that it has been closed since Keith died.
Yes.
And Deb is there. Mm-hmm. Deb is back. There's a lot of people coming back in this episode.
Yeah.
Returns of old faces.
But thankfully, there is no Dan.
This is true. Yes, correct. No Dan, though. The little wins. The little wins. So Deb sees this. She goes to see Karen at the house.
Oh, God.
Yeah, God. Like, basically, she apologizes for not making it back in time for the funeral, asks how she's holding up, but she wants to help her get back on her feet. And then Karen tells her.
Remember when she, like, blamed Lucas for everything, basically? And we were like, ooh, that was harsh.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to this.
Now she blames Deb for everything. And, so, like, she's mad because she knows about the fire and how she tried to kill Dan. And she's like, Lucas ran into that building. Like, you could have been responsible for his death.
Yep.
And then says that she's no better than Jimmy Edwards.
And that Jimmy was actually almost better than her because he was successful.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even believe that, like, happened.
Mm-hmm. It was rough.
Even if she just said, like, oh, you're just like Jimmy, fine. But to say that, I was like, that might be too far.
Yeah. Although, if we're being fair to Deb here, if she had been successful, Keith would still be alive.
Right? Like, I thought that Karen should have been happy. Like, happier in the situation.
If Lucas hadn't pulled him out of that fire, right? Keith would still be alive. Ruh-roh. Anyway, I can't remember how that all plays out.
How what plays out?
If/when people find out that Dan was the one that killed Keith. I don't remember how that goes.
I literally have zero idea.
Yeah.
I can see Dan in an orange jumpsuit, though.
Yep.
So I'm assuming something happens.
And I do know something happens because I do know.
Oh, right. With
somebody knows the truth. Yes.
Abby knows the truth.
Yes. Abby knows the truth.
And you're right. As soon as you were talking about that, I was like, oh, that does sound familiar. Yeah.
So I don't know how this all plays out.
I feel like that has to happen in the next 3 episodes, right? Or does it not? I don't know.
Yeah, you'd think, right?
I don't know.
Either way.
Yeah.
We go. Oh yes, we go to Mouth comes by to see Rachel.
Yeah. She's hungover.
Yes. He gives her the picture back that he got from Brooke. Oh yeah, we didn't mention that when he confronted her.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, Brooke was still carrying this photo around.
Yes, and she gives it to him. And yes. That's when, because he hands it to Rachel, and because at this point, as much as we know that it's Rachel, no one said, like, this is Rachel.
Yeah, nobody else knows. The only...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he hands the picture to Rachel, and she flips it over, and it says, Rachel, 14 years old, on the back. Yeah. In Sharpie.
And this is when we find out that she has had so many surgeries.
Yes.
So...
Stomach stapled, boob job, nose job, all the things.
How? Who is doing this to a 14-year-old?
Well, that's just it. Like, I would, like, maybe give you the nose job and even right. the stomach stapling.
But I don't understand getting a boob job before your boobs have finished growing.
Yeah, like, I feel like you gotta be a solid, like... 22.
Right.
Because they're still just, like, doing things.
Yes, absolutely. It's weird.
Yeah. But it happens a lot.
Yes.
A lot.
Yeah. She gets kind of defensive about it.
Yeah. But in a way where, like, I never... I mean... That's just more like on a personal in the real world side of things where I'm like, yeah. Oh, don't have the surgeries. But like,
yes,
she kind of explains it in a way where like, you get it and you understand. And she's like, I like the me that, you know, like I didn't mm-hmm. like me and like now I like me. And like, but it's still kind of like, although because then even Mouth questions it and he's like,
right.
But do you actually like yourself now?
Yes.
Like you don't let anyone in.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, mm-hmm. good call. Because I was yeah. totally, I was buying it. I was like.
Well, and it's always one of those things, too, that, like, yes, I don't want to be judging women for whatever work they choose to have done. Correct. However, we also need to be able to have a conversation about the fact that the reason this is happening is to try to live up to unrealistic beauty standards.
That are decades old.
Yes. And so toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like...
I know.
Half of aging Hollywood looks the same now because everyone's getting the same anti-aging surgeries.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's weird.
I know.
It's a problem.
Well, and it's all, like, from... Yeah, like, it stems from a time when things were, like... Like, if it was starting now, mm-hmm. everyone's views would be completely different. You know? Like, it's just... Yeah, it's just so weird.
Yeah, like, I actually don't think this storyline... would happen now?
No.
Because, I mean, well, we haven't evolved as much as we'd like to think. What would that new weight loss drug? Oh. I can't even remember what it's called.
But, like, I feel like it at least it would be
But you know what I mean? Like,
somehow, yeah.
Yes, yes. It was on a whole other level at the time that this was yeah. being made.
Oh, yeah.
And it was bad. But anyway... bad then, it's bad now. It's all bad. But she says something to him like, if you could snap your fingers and look like Lucas, which of all the people to choose, anyway, wouldn't you do it? And she said, don't say no because I know you're lying. Mm-hmm. I was like, at least go with Nathan here. Come on. Even though I think he still looks so baby in these episodes.
Yeah. Yeah.
He looks real good now. And Mouth says, I think if I could snap my fingers and get something, it wouldn't be about how I look.
Yeah.
Which, touche.
Right?
So she's worried now that everyone's going to find out and look at her like she's some kind of Frankenstein. Mm. But she's like, I don't see you any different. And she's like, yeah, you already do. I can tell. And she rips the picture up. And you're like, oof, man. Okay. Yeah. I just love Mouth being like... He's the best.
Just.
Then we get this scene. So Cooper, here's my question for you. Like, I know that Lucas knows Cooper
from that one time?
This is what I mean. Is that the only time they've ever, like, why would he ever have had any reason to interact with Cooper? He's Deb's brother.
Well, that's just it, right? So we know that, like, Lucas has always known who Deb and Dan are.
Yeah.
And, like, Nathan. But, like, in a way where, based off of what we've seen, they never interacted.
Right.
In Tree Hill. Like, they just avoided each other.
Yes. They have no relationship whatsoever.
So it's possible that he knew that Deb had a brother prior to the trip. Yes, I'm sure
he might have known that Cooper existed.
Yeah. But, like...
But this kind of a conversation is not like a, hey, kid, I met once.
Yeah, he was not going to family dinners or events.
It was very strange to me because the way it was set up made it seem like there was, like, an established relationship between Cooper and Lucas. And I was like, there's not, though.
And I guess that, like, maybe they could have slightly bonded over Nathan's crash.
That's true.
But it definitely didn't happen on screen. We ain't never seen that.
No.
We saw him talking with the girl.
Yeah. And we straight up know that Cooper has made himself scarce.
Yeah.
Since the accident, because he says as much.
Yeah. It was like they just needed a different adult talking to Lucas or something.
So anyway, what happens is, basically, he was not allowed to drive anymore. Like, race cars.
Yeah.
Not regular driving. Race car driving. And, like, he had a really hard time with that until he realized that, like, everything would be okay. He can be happy anyway. And starts going on. But I was like, okay, I know exactly where this is going. Because he tells him that Nathan told him about the game that Lucas walked out on. And Lucas is like, oh, yeah, no, I'll get it back. It's fine. And Cooper's like, yeah, okay, but if you don't, that's fine, too.
Yeah.
And, like, it's a decent conversation. It was just odd to me. It was just an odd pairing. But,
so many weird things.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Nathan and Haley found a perfect spot for their wedding.
Oh, man.
However, so it's at a church. I don't know what kind of church. Priest.
No.
Is this Catholic?
This was my immediate logistics police question. As far as I am concerned, the black with the little white neck thingy.
Yeah, the neck.
The collar.
Yeah, the white collar.
That is a Catholic church thing.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was like, am I missing something here? I always thought this was Catholic.
I have never, like, I have not been, like, a going to a Catholic church person. When I was younger, when I was hauled off to church or whatever, there was no outfits like that.
Yeah,
I can't, like,
really
not Anglican, not United, not Lutheran, not, like, that was, to me, that symbolizes Catholic church, straight up priest situation.
Right? I was so confused about this, because it just didn't make any sense in that case. Oh, I just Googled it, guys. The clerical collar was adopted by other Christian denominations, including Anglican Church, Methodist churches, Eastern Orthodox Church, Baptist churches. Fascinating. Lutheran and the Roman Catholic. Okay.
Oh, so literally just everybody.
I guess. So maybe it's like an option. It is not an option if you're Catholic.
Yeah, like,
okay,
I guess maybe just so it looks like more of
an
outfit, I guess.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay, that makes way more sense to me, because I was like, there's no way that any Catholic priest is allowing you to get married in your church if you're not Catholic. Simply not happening. They will make you get baptized first. Also, they're going to make you do more than one premarital counseling class, which is actually just a compatibility test. They're going to make you take a year-long marriage course that you are absolutely going to be required to pay for.
Yeah.
So anyway, now that we've solved that logistical question, they have to take a compatibility test. This is so funny to me. Anyway, well,
and because, like, in my head, because when Nathan said, like, oh, they want us to do, like, premarital counseling, I was like, completely makes sense for sure.
Right. I was like,
whatever the church is,
okay, sure.
I absolutely believe that totally.
Absolutely.
But this compatibility test, is the BS. As if, so stupid.
Right?
Which, I mean, is the point, and that's how it spins around and whatever.
Yes.
But I was just like, nah.
Anyway, they agree because they really like it. And Haley says something about, like, I'll do anything to marry you again, which is cute.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Peyton gets a call from Pete. She answered it and she's all excited, except it's not Pete Wentz. His manager.
Yeah.
It's the tour manager. Because Pete's too busy to call himself. But he wants to fly Peyton to Chicago for the weekend.
Yep.
And Peyton's like, my dad is never going to let that happen.
Totally.
Yeah. And then the band manager says something about how, like, Pete said she'd be doing him a favor because the band thinks she's a Snuffleupagus, which is calling back to last episode. So I guess she has a decision to make. Oof. Then this scene.
Oh my god, what happens next?
Whitey comes by to see Karen. Yeah. She's in a funk, man. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Count on Whitey, though, to be...
Yep.
Whitey.
And especially with what happens. Like, he fully was aware, and he knew, and was ready, and, like, didn't even care.
Yeah. Well, because first he's trying to be like, you know, I know what you're going through. Like, I lost Camilla, and she says, you had Camilla for a lifetime, only had Keith for a few weeks. Which is such an odd way of framing it to me, because she actually did have Keith for a lifetime, just not in a romantic way. But whatever.
I would rephrase that into, like, maybe not in a sexual way the whole time. Right. I feel like their entire relationship, which was longer than Lucas's life, was romantic in that, like, maybe, like, capital R sense or something, you know? Like, they weren't just friends.
No.
Even the decades that they did not touch each other. That's not just a friend.
They were family. Keith was as good as Lucas's father. Like,
absolutely.
Truly.
Like, that was not... Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then he comes back with... Whose fault is that? And I was like, whoa. And then she slaps him. And I was like, oh my god, what is happening?
Well, because I missed what he said. And then I saw the slap and I was like, wait. So I had to, like, go back. So I was like, what just happened?
Yeah.
But that's when Whitey says, I'm glad to see you're still in there.
Yeah.
So it was like he was trying to provoke her to kind of get her to break her out of the, like...
Well, you know. And he even says, he's like, I know that you're, that the guilt that you're carrying around.
Yeah.
Like, I said that for a reason. Like, you don't have to feel guilty. Like, you gave him, basically, and this is when he says, like, you gave him Lucas, basically. Like, he was his son. And that meant the world to Keith. So, you know. Well, and then he asks if she knows that Lucas didn't play the last game. And she did not know this.
Nope.
But basically, he's like, let the guilt go.
Yeah.
You don't need it. It's not useful. You don't have anything to be guilty about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So at least, like, he knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And was able to snap her out of it.
The best.
Yeah.
He's the best.
I know. I love Whitey. Oh, and then we have, like, a brief scene of Nathan and Haley sitting down with this test to start filling it out.
Oh, yeah, but then that's it, right? Like, it's just
that's
a quick...
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, then we move over to Mouth helping Rachel take all the posters down.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a big garbage bag that he's putting them all in.
Yeah.
And again, he's just, like, telling her, like, you know, it was never about your looks. Like, I like talking to you. Like, when the blackout happened and we couldn't even see each other, he was like, that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, like, that was you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, he says, like, he didn't see anything ugly in that picture.
Yeah.
Oh, he says he could have loved the girl in that picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then he asked her, too, like, do you still feel self-conscious? Like, that kind of stuff. And she's like... Yeah, like, so it's this weird thing where, like, she did all these changes, but then she actually still feels the same. So, like, what, you know?
Yeah. Well, and, like, it does at least track with the way she's been with Brooke this entire time.
Yeah.
All of that behavior is absolutely insecure behavior.
Yes.
Yes, so. Yes. She's overcompensating.
Yeah.
And she does kiss him here, right?
Yeah.
Right. Then we go to basketball practice.
Yep.
Lucas shows up and he's like, I need to know why the game matters or I can't play.
Okay. So like what this episode is, I feel like it's trying to tell me that he was playing on the Ravens for Keith.
Oh, interesting.
But at no point prior to this has that ever seemed like what it was.
Right. I took it more as like he just, I don't know, someone that close to you dies and you sort of reassess the things that are important in your life and he can't bring himself to try with basketball right now. I guess,
but like it doesn't seem like it's, I don't know. I was just not feeling the Lucas this episode.
That's fair.
Because, again, it was just that whole, like, why would this game matter? Like, all you've been doing is talking about why this game matters for 3 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the only time that it's been, maybe remotely been a good reason in the, like, Keith would want you to play.
Yeah.
Which, like, no one says.
I know. No one does say that.
Even just, like, when Nathan said, like, Nathan and Lucas need to play so that all those other guys remotely have a shot mm-hmm. at anything
mm-hmm.
or even if they don't want the shot just to feel like they're part of something and be on the team and like I feel like there's so many reasons as to like why that game mattered, you know. Like whatever.
Well, and also like all season he's been fighting to play the game even though he probably shouldn't be.
Well, that right, like
where's that energy, Lucas?
When you're like, oh, you I'm going to die.
Right.
But the game
risking
is
your literal life.
So important.
Mm-hmm.
So important. That you're willing to just, like, die every single game?
Right.
Whatever, Lucas.
I know. Either way, we get this story from Whitey. So you see on the gym, there's, like, it says, like, Home of the Monarchs.
Yeah.
Which is the team that used to play there.
Yeah.
And he asks if any of them know who it was, and we find out that they were a team that played back in the 50s who mm-hmm. were considered to be one of the best teams in the state. And Whitey says they were never on the records because they were an all-black team, and in the 50s, North Carolina, segregation,
mm-hmm.
they were not part of any official thing happening, and also black players and white players could not play on the same team. So Whitey's team at the time was the best team in the state, like officially.
Yeah.
But they also knew that the Monarchs were supposed to be really good. So one night the two teams came together and decided to play some games against each other. So they played 4 games. I don't think he ever says who won.
No,
or not.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
No. He just says, we got our shots, they got their shots. Mm-hmm. So I guess you're supposed to kind of assume that it was fairly equal.
Fairly equal, and I think in the end, irrelevant.
Yeah.
Right, because he said what ended up happening is they decided to mix the teams. Probably, and like I'm assuming that like they're equally matched enough at this point that they're like, oh, let's see what happens if we mix it up a bit.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah. And this is where we find out.
I forgot about
Whitey was one of the last players chosen. So it was like him and one of the other black players and the coach on the, or the coach, the team captain.
Yes.
The captain on the all-black team decided to, he said, hey, Whitey, like, I'll go with Whitey or something like that. I'll take Whitey. So, and that just, that name stuck.
Yes.
Yeah. And so they played like that and, you know, made them probably one of, probably the first team, mixed teams playing in the state, which is wild to think about. Like, that's not even that long ago.
Nope. One, and they weren't even like officially playing. This was just like the kids playing.
This was just this was just their own.
And then Whitey says, let the game heal you, come back to us, which now coming from Whitey, love it, come back to us, yes. But because he's talking to Lucas, I just really didn't care.
That's fair.
it was also just like a day, and this was just not the day.
That's for... also valid.
It was just not the day for one of these like sucky Lucas episodes.
Indeed, just indeed. Couldn't. We've both had days. It's been a time. It's been a time.
Oh man.
This is when we get Peyton and Brooke in the same bed.
Yes.
And I was like, weren't they getting separate beds?
Yeah.
Apparently not. Apparently they're just going to be two teenagers sharing this double bed. Okay, sure. Why not? Peyton's just telling her all about Pete wanting her to come to Chicago, though, basically. And Peyton's upset because she's like, why does every guy, like, have to leave? Like, why am I always doing this?
Yeah.
And Brooke tells her, like, that's even more reason to go. Like,
yeah,
go get it. Like, be happy. Don't spend, you don't want to spend your life wondering what if.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens there.
Yeah. Yeah. Peyton says, like, I already have so many what ifs or whatever.
And yeah. You're like, yeah, I was, yeah. Side-eyed that real hard.
Well, because, like, I knew that, like, someone had to come back, but I forgot that this is, like, that's what.
I also forgot this was how this happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I figured it out at the end, and I was like, oh, well, yeah. I know what's happening here.
Yeah. I also just kept laughing because, like, they kept cutting to, like, the Fall Out Boy posters on her wall.
Oh, I know. It's hilarious.
And I feel like if I were to have some sort of anything involving said whatever famous person, picture on my phone, thing on my wall, whatever, the second I met them in real life, I'm not even talking dating and going to a cabin and whatever. The second I met them in real life, I would be expunging my life of any of that evidence. Not just, like, keeping their giant posters on my wall.
Yeah. I also think it's just, I don't know, perhaps you shouldn't date people you have. I mean, this one's maybe a little different. I'm actually just kind of thinking about the fact that I remember Katie Holmes said she had a poster of Tom Cruise on her wall when she was a teenager. Look how that worked out, kids. I feel like it's probably not a great idea to date somebody that you idolize in any way. They're only going to disappoint you. Because nobody can live up to that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Anyway. We go back to Nathan and Haley. We find out they have failed their compatibility test. They are terribly incompatible.
Yeah.
And Haley's so funny to me. She's like, I've never failed a test before. But Nathan, I adore him.
Yes.
Because he, like, asks the priest, he's like, how did you know that becoming a priest was, like, the right thing for you? And I can't even remember what the priest's answer is. Something about, like, he had faith, probably.
Yeah, it was something.
Or he just knew, or, like, it was a calling, whatever.
I love how you probably said he had faith or something.
I'm so sorry. And Nathan then says, like, okay, is there, like, a test that could prove that? And the priest is like, well, no, obviously. And Nathan's like, cool. You don't know how much, like, time and energy and work we've put into making this relationship work. And at this point, that is so true.
Yeah.
Like, damn, they have been through the ringer.
Yep.
And he's like, there's no test that's going to show that we love each other. We love each other. We're getting married.
Yep.
And then the priest is like, oh, you passed the real test, and rips up the test. And I was like, all right. I remembered this.
I hate it.
Right? I was like, okay, that's lame, but whatever. Yep. So, yay, Nathan and Haley are getting married at their dream spot.
Yay.
And then... oh, yeah, Lucas comes by the cafe, and Deb has opened it and is running things.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah, this is all the wind-up to, like, Lucas doing what he does. Well, because she's just like, I think he asks her like how it is being back or whatever, and she's talking about Cooper staying with her and all of that, and like how she blamed Cooper after Nathan got in the car crash, even though she knew it wasn't his fault. And starts talking about how like it's a mother's worst fear is losing her child, and like nothing else even comes close to it. So I don't remember what else she says, I'm not gonna lie to you.
I do. Okay. She says that Karen needs to lean on you, so you need to take care of yourself. Which...
Okay. I mean, I see how he interpreted it this way.
Yes. He did interpret it a way that is important and did need to happen. But I feel like wasn't what Deb was trying to say.
Well, definitely wasn't, because she doesn't know...
Yeah. She was thinking more circumstances. The emotional side of things. Yes. Of like, not like you need to get yourself together, but like you need to get yourself together because your mom needs you. And in classic Lucas fashion, he spins it all to be about himself. Anyways. Not bitter, not upset. It's fine.
So then... Whitey and Nathan are going over plays.
Yeah.
In the change room of their new old gym.
Yeah.
Old new gym? Whatever.
New old.
Yeah. Lucas comes in and he's like, I have to talk to you. And then he's like, Nathan, you should hear this too. It's all very dramatic. He's like, I can't play tonight because I have a heart condition. I'm sorry, it's just so dramatic. It's so dramatically.
Oh, and like, apologies to the CMM, but like, you cannot, maybe you can now, I don't know, but he cannot emote for, ugh.
I agree with you. I can't. So he flat out tells them, I have HCM, I haven't been taking my meds.
Yep.
He didn't tell anyone because he didn't want to leave the game behind. And Whitey's like, oh, I know this was a hard conversation for you. And he's like, no. The not next conversation. Yeah. Next one. Again, it's all very dramatic.
Yes.
The melodrama sometimes on this show is just...
Well, and because then, like, the game starts and you see, like, Nathan out and he does the tip-off, whatever. And then, like, Lucas, like, pushes the gym doors open. Well, aside from the fact that, like, he left the locker room.
Yes.
And then there was enough time for, like, the game to start.
Mm-hmm. So well, and, like, Haley and Brooksy, he's not there on the sidelines cheering, and they, like, give each other a look. So there
was, like, a solid, no less than 5 minutes, but realistically, like, 20 minutes, that he was just waiting.
Yeah.
But then he, and, like, you know, the double door push open.
Oh, yeah, like, pushes them both open, and they and go so you open, can and see the game's playing behind him.
The game piano, where, like, he, like, walks out, and it's, like, slow motion, and, like, oh, and you're just like, oh.
And I'm like, did he have to leave, though? Like, he could have watched the game.
Yeah.
Anyway. After the game, I'm assuming, Mouth is, like, looking at his phone. He's looking at a photo, the selfie of, like, him and Rachel that they took that time.
Yeah.
On his phone. And Brooke.
Oh, what is I don't understand.
Yeah. Because she calls her Jabba the Slut, and I was like, it's so bad on so many levels, I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway. Basically, she's like, when are you going to stop being friends with Rachel so you can go back to being friends with me? And I was like, I wasn't aware that he couldn't be friends with both of you.
Yeah.
Haven't you mostly been friends this whole time with a couple little ups and downs?
And, like, her and Rachel have been relatively even...
Right.
Not fighting for a while now.
Right.
You know, just kind of, like, sort of, like, truce, whatever. Like, I don't know.
Anyway, Mouth tells it like it is.
Yep.
And he's like, you've got Rachel wrong, and what you're doing is cruel. Which is when Brooke tries to say that she never would have gone through with actually revealing who it was in the photo. But, like, that's not a great defense as defenses go.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It was just a whole thing.
It really was.
Yeah.
So.
Oh. I don't know.
Right? And then we have Peyton and her dad. Because he wants to, like, make sure he didn't completely freak out Pete. But he just gives her a whole thing again about, like, when you pick the boy you really want to be with, I want to know that he'll respect you and treat you well and all that. Because, like, that's how I was with your mom. And
yeah.
Yeah, and he says she should follow her heart.
Yeah.
And then you're like, ooh, what's going to happen?
It's not about what he does. It's about what he is, not what he does.
Yes, exactly. So then Haley and Nathan are the cutest. They're, like, sitting on the couch with, like, their legs tangled together, basically, like, on either end of the couch with their legs in the middle, eating ice cream and just, like, talking about the game. She's like, you played so well. They're so cute. And she asks where Lucas was tonight, and Nathan's like, oh yeah, by the way, he has HCM. And Haley's like, yeah, don't hate me, but I actually did know that. But then she asks if he's been taking his meds, and Nathan's like, no. And she's like, god damn it, that boy.
Well, and that's what, like,
he lied to me.
Well, and then Nathan says, like, he's lied to everyone. You're just like, ooh.
Yeah.
Correct.
But he's going to be okay. Mm. And I don't know how they get, I don't remember how they get from there to Nathan asking, to Nathan saying, we don't have to do the whole big wedding if you don't want to.
Oh, yeah.
But he definitely says that.
Well, because there's something about, I think he just, they ask about, like, the whole answer thing and the priest or something, and I can't fully remember.
Okay, cool. It's fine. The whole point, basically, is
that I think they just move on to a new conversation. It's okay. Just like, hey, oh, what the priest said, you know.
And she thinks, she has an idea.
Yeah, she wants it to be a memorable day.
Yes, so she thinks that they could make it extra special. Mm-hmm. If they don't have sex until they get married again.
Yeah.
And she's like, do you still love me? And he's like, are you joking? Well, and then it's hilarious because he's like, I can still kiss you, right? And starts, like, all, like, kissing up on her. And she's like, maybe we can start the no sex thing tomorrow night.
Well, especially because, like, at this point, we don't actually know. I mean, we know it's only 3 episodes, but, like, we don't know how far out it is. So, like.
Right.
They're definitely, like, planning on working things. So I'm like, is this, like, a week? Is this
2 months?
Like,
I also had questions about
what kind of, like, holdout situation are we doing here? Because, like.
And then Lucas comes home to talk to his mother.
And for the record, we are supposed to care. Normal human beings would care. Lucas is the main character. We're supposed to care. But we don't.
I can't handle the way he cries.
Oh my god. Well, because I was telling you, because I have the closed captioning on, because it's called ADHD. And it came up before he started talking, but it said, like, voice breaking. And then, like, went into whatever he was saying. And I was just like, nope. Mm-hmm. Nope.
Yeah.
And because he's like, what, how does he even put it, like,
he says I lied to you,
like, I have a heart condition,
I need you
now more than ever.
Yes.
All I wrote down after that was fuck right off. I was like, are you kidding me?
I mean, listen, not to, like, give Lucas the benefit of, because obviously this was not intentional on his part. However, if anything was going to properly pull her out of this,
yes,
this is going to be it.
Yes. Absolutely. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just like, really?
Yeah. I know.
All the conversations that were leading up to this was about how everyone else needs him. And then all he's done now is make everyone say that he... It's just because that's what he always does with all... Remember, like, so even, like, that last... The two episodes ago when he, like, throws the stuff back in Peyton's face about her kissing him in the library and, like...
Oh, I hated that so much.
He always, like, flips everything the other way.
Oh, are we going to have a field day with Dawson Leary?
Boy. Well, I'm like, I want, like, I wonder if it's in, like, a... Because, like, if he's just whiny the whole time, fine. But, like, does he do this, like, stupid flipping thing like Lucas?
Oh, absolutely.
I can't remember.
100% he does.
Ugh.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So then Mouth is all done up in a suit and he's got some flowers. And he's coming by to see Rachel.
Oh, no.
This is all during, like, sort of a montage. Are we montaging yet?
Ish.
Ish. Okay. Anyway. He knocks on the door. She opens it and looks not thrilled to see him.
Yeah, she's like, a little
what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And then who else comes to the door? But Cooper.
Without a shirt on.
And I think he calls her babe or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we just met Cooper's 26-year-old mom girlfriend.
So again, so then we also know that he is unawares of the truth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, to give Cooper a little bit of credit, he did not know.
Oh, yeah, no, totally. Like, Rachel lied flat out. Like,
yes.
I get it.
Yeah. Oh. Boy. So anyway, Mouth just hands the flowers over and leaves. And then we go to Peyton. At the airport, which is when I was like, oh, I remember what's happening now.
Yes.
Before we find out, though, we go to the cafe for a hot minute.
Yeah.
Where Karen goes to see Deb.
Yes.
And basically, like, they're cool now. That's what this scene is for. She's like, I'm going to need a lot of help. And Deb's like, good, because I'm going to give it to you. And
yeah.
Everything is great between them. And then Peyton's getting off the plane.
Yeah.
And then we see who she's there to see, and it's Jake!
Not Pete!
Yay!
And he has and, Jenny!
Yeah, and she's walking!
And yeah, because, like, Peyton goes down, like, crouches down, and, like, Jenny walks over to her.
Yay! It's very cute.
But also, like, rude, because this is just a...
Oh, yeah.
Fucking cock tease.
It's such a tease. It's such a tease. I agree with you.
You
it's
can't
terrible.
Just tease me with Brian
nope.
Greenberg. It's not
nope.
fair.
Yeah. So, and that's our episode.
Yeah.
That's it. That be it.
Yep.
The end.
The only real new person that we had was the priest guy who is Marcus Lyle Brown, and he's in a million things, but not even in the way where, like, you know, everyone who was on, like, every primetime drama for, like, 20 years, like, not even like that, like, just a million things, and I didn't know what most of them were.
Oh, okay. Cool. I mean, you know, he's working, so good for him.
Shout out to Marcus Lyle Brown. Yeah.
Nice.
But this was the episode that was directed by Maura Kelly.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So,
and we did get a bunch of old characters back, like Deb's back, Cooper's back, Jake is sort of back.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun also.
Yeah. Did you have any high school moments?
Not really. Like, yeah. I don't know. They play basketball. Like,
yeah. Well, because again, everything else is just like, sure, let your daughter fly off to even wherever Jake is, like, whatever, you know, it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Well, and then, like, yeah, because, like, all of the Nathan and Haley stuff is about them getting married again, which just feels very, well, I mean,
maybe
my high school, but, like, not, not
very
most,
not high school.
Most high school.
Yeah.
Who did you have as most annoying?
I mean, listen. Obviously, Lucas is right up there.
Yeah.
But, like, there wasn't really anyone else, so I guess it has to be Lucas.
I mean, because that was the thing. Brooke wasn't annoying. Brooke was awful.
Yes, exactly.
And it was different, right? Yes, like, even those times different. Were like Dan's awful, but he's not annoying. Like, it's.
Yes.
This was just like badness.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. Like, okay, most annoying, that entire storyline.
Yeah, that. Agreed. Let's go with that. It was not okay. A person, it was a storyline.
It was that storyline.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you have a quote of the episode?
I just went with when Mouth says, I think if I could snap my fingers and get something, it wouldn't be about how I look.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because I thought that was a good one.
Yeah.
Did you have a different one?
No. I didn't really have anything. I don't know. I just couldn't. Mm-hmm. There was, I feel like, because there had been something else that Mouth had said too. And I couldn't, like, I went back and was trying to find it and I couldn't find it on any of the things. So like, either way, Mouth quote, I'm good with it.
Yeah.
He was the one dropping.
Absolutely. He knew what was up this episode.
Yeah. Did you have a song of the episode?
Well, mm-hmm. There was kind of two.
Yeah.
That I mean, because we get another Gavin DeGraw song.
Yeah.
The We Belong Together one.
Yeah.
And then also one of the montage scenes is He Lays in the Rains by Iron Wine / Calexico.
Yeah.
And those were the ones that I really noticed. I feel like I'm missing one.
There was a Rogue Wave song too.
Okay, there was a Rogue Wave song.
And like... I'm all about the Rogue Wave, so.
Nice.
What was it? Begin, I think. But yeah, so like, cause, well, it was one of those things, right, where it's literally like, Rogue Wave, Iron and Mine, Gavin DeGraw, like,
mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, for me, it has to be the Iron and Wine song, because I was such an Iron and Wine.
Well, but, and I feel like, none of the songs were, like, the song, like.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And none of them even felt like. Loud in the episode, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Like, you know, epic, you know, like, it was just, they were notable.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so yeah. I'm cool with Iron and Wine. Let's go with it. And then now we only have 3 freaking episodes left of this season.
I know. How did we get here?
I don't know. This has been crazy.
Anyway, in case we were unsure about what was going to happen with Pete and Peyton, even though, like, she's clearly made her decision by the end. The episode is also entitled I Slept With Somebody From Fall Out Boy and All I Got Was the Stupid Song Written About Me.
Which, yeah.
Just to make sure we all know it's over.
And because at that point in time, they could not afford to have Pete Wentz more than the couple times that they had him on the episode.
Right,
on the
show.
Because, like, you don't even on all the phone conversations, like, you don't even hear his side.
Nope.
He wasn't even phoning in audio.
Nope. Nothing. They were like, we can't pay him to be on another episode.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Yeah, obviously this whole thing with Rachel and Cooper is going to have to play out. That's going to be... I mean, it's going to be disastrous.
We'll have to get some kind of wedding.
Yep, there's going to be a wedding. We're going to find out what happens with Peyton and Jake.
Yep.
And Lucas isn't playing basketball anymore, so something's going to happen with that, or whatever.
But when it happens, we have no idea, because...
Mm-hmm.
Because didn't we figure out that the thing that happens is, like, episode 9 in season 4, so, like...
I think so.
Like, that's going to have to start up again, like, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how this works at all.
As always, we have no idea what's happening.
Yeah.
But come back next week and maybe we'll see, maybe we'll figure something out. Who knows?
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll see you then.
Bye.